Good morning, Mark here, and hey, all you prayer warriors out there. Just hope you're just having an amazing week. And it's just this special time of the year where we just kind of look back and we really look at the death, the crucifixion, and our risen Lord. So it's just an amazing time of the year, and so I just hope that you're just really involved in God's Word and with brothers and sisters in Christ and just learning on your own, and you're just deep in prayer. And that's so let's just go ahead and start just with a little bit of prayer. And dear Lord, we just give thanks. We just call out to you, just praising your name, just for this time of year and the months of the year and just every day this year. Pray that we can just learn more every day, just as the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us. In Jesus' name, amen. And I just want to apologize. You know, we've been talking about prayer all these months and all these opportunities about prayer. And just this last week, I came across probably the most powerful prayer in the entire Bible. And I had missed it all of these decades. At least it's that powerful to me in my heart. And it's we're going to be taking a look at it in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's a prayer that Jesus says in his last days. And so if you want to go ahead and take a quick look at Matthew 26:36. Matthew 26:36. And remember, at this time, you know, they've completed the Last Supper, and he's out there, and it starts there in 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. Oh, and we've all heard this story, haven't we? And said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." So here's Jesus. He's going off to pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began a sorrowful and deeply distressed prayer. Sorrowful. And we've had these. We have been so distressed in the last years or the months or the days just because of our lives and sorrowful. We may have lost something, but he knows what's going to happen. And that's why he's so sorrowful and distressed at this point in time, because he knows, he tells his disciples that are standing there with him, he says, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." So he knows what's going to happen. "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful in death," because he knows what's going to happen in the next 24 hours. He knows the physical abuse that he's going to, he's going to be scourged. He's going to be tied to a pole, and he's going to get 39 whips. He's going to be tied, and they're going to be, he's going to be beaten 39 times there Luke 22:63, the priests, they're going to blindfold him and they're going to beat him and they're going to mock him. There in Mark 15:17, the soldiers are going to put a robe on him. They're going to put on a crown of thorns, spit on him, pull his beard, strike him with sharp objects. And then finally there in Mark 15:29, he's going to be on the cross. And even on the cross, he's being insulted by the soldiers, by the priest down below, and the prisoner that he's being hung with. So he's just this huge physical abuse and this mental abuse, this emotional abuse, and then finally the spiritual abuse, because as we get to this, he will be spiritually abandoned by his Father, by God. He will be abandoned, because here in his prayer, he went a little further and fell on his face. And so here's Jesus, exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. He's telling us, "My soul," and he said, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And here's the answer: "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And that is our lesson today, and we're going to see it in a couple of different places. It's we can be under attack emotionally and mentally, physically, spiritually, and we pray to God, the Father, "Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And so we're giving it up to God. And that's really what we have to do in our prayers. Because as we go on from not only Matthew, but we see it again here in Mark 14:34. Again, a lot of it kind of flows. You've got the harmony of the Gospels. You know, they agree on these points. And then he said to them, so this is again in Mark, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." And then he's apart from them. He says, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you." He's recognizing the power, the omnipotence of his Father, of our Father. He says, "Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Again, it, just as in Matthew, here we see it again in Mark. But in Mark, you know, he's relating to his dad, his Father, Father God, my Father, Abba, Abba, Father. "And take this cup away, but let it be your will, not my will." And that's what we have to continually be watching out for, because when we pray, is it about our wants? Oh, no, 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 no. Is it about our needs? And I look at this, and this is probably the greatest need that we have here in the Bible, because you know what's going to happen. Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to be beaten. He knows he's going to be mocked, scourged. His back is going to be flayed to the bone, the muscle, the sinew, bleeding almost to death, and then be crucified on a cross. He knows that is going to happen. And he says, "But not my will. Let your will be done." And then the last verse that we'll just take a quick look at, Luke 22. So you see this all the way through there. Luke 22:39. And he's talking to his guys, and he withdraws from them in a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed. So he's pretty close to them. They're in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Ah, here's something a little different. In verse 43, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Wow. Because none of us physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually could go through what our Christ, our Messiah, our Savior went through in the next 24 hours. And God the Father sent an angel to him. And this is the only time that that is mentioned in here, except for in the book of Luke, that he was strengthened by that angel. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be calling out to God, crying out to God, praying. And then we end those prayers in, "Not my will, but let it be your will." Because, you know, a lot of us are going through this now. You know, we've seen, you know, family members die, friends die, people in the church die, in our community. Horrible things are happening in this world. And we pray, and we pray, and we pray. But remember, just the bottom line, it's, "Dear Lord, it's not my will, but as your will be done." And we see this in each of these instances. Christ prayed three times in that garden. Did he get his prayer answered? No. He did not get his prayer answered, because it was God's will that he went through this for our sake, that he was to be our Savior, because he would go through this in the next 24 hours. He would be buried, and he would rise again on the third day as our Savior, as our Messiah. So we just need to remember that in prayer. Huge prayer, amazing. I recommend that you just take that upon yourself. Read those three in each of the Gospels. It'll take you another 10, 15 minutes, but refer to those and just open up your heart for God's will, not ours. Thank you, and just have an amazing week, all you prayer warriors out there. Keep on praying and studying God's Word. Thank you.